I was reading this week, and you know, I don't even remember what morning was every morning, and I get up and spend some time with the Lord, and probably the most wonderful and glorious time of my day. Amen. And spend some time reading His Word, just different places. One of the places that I went this week was the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And so I'm going to ask you to turn there, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I was so blessed by this week that I figured I'd share it with you, and so you can be a blessed as well. Amen. There's just a lot of lessons from St. John, chapter 6, John's Gospel. And I just want to, we'll probably maybe spend a couple of Sundays on St. John, chapter 6, because there's just a lot of things here, and maybe more, I don't know. But whatever it is, whatever the Lord wants, that's the way it'll be. Amen? Glad to see Ram doing well. Glad to see some other folks that, and heard from some other folks that were going through different things, that God's healed them and touched them. I can't remember all of the different things that people's called this week and about different things and things that have been done and people just worshiping and praising the Lord and thanking God. And just about every one of them will tell you it's because of the prayers of this church. Amen. And that's been ever since this church has been started. We've had more. I started to write down a list one day, and it was just impossible to write them all down. But there's just been so many things that God has done in people. I'm talking about miracles that God has done in people's lives as a result of the prayers of this church. Of course, some other people were praying as well, but I know we were praying, so I can thank God for that. Amen. St. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here. There's 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make people sit down." There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. That doesn't include children, women and children. I'm sure some of those were there. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." I'm going to stop right there. Let's just start with back up at verse 2. A great multitude followed him. You know, one of the things that we know about Jesus' life, wherever he went, because of the things that he did, there were multitudes of people that followed him. And he said that the multitudes followed him for, there's at least a couple of reasons that he mentioned, and he didn't mention it in a bad sort of a way, but he did mention it in that they were following him for the wrong reasons. He said to them, He was glad that they were following him, but sometimes they couldn't get, he couldn't get any rest. Amen. Or his disciples couldn't get any rest because there was a great multitude following him all the time. And there's a couple of times here it mentions a great multitude. And there's two things that he said about them. Number one, he said they're following him because for the wrong reasons. They're following him because they saw him do some miracles. They were following him because they wanted to see him do some things. Amen? That's nothing wrong. And Jesus wasn't criticizing them, saying following him because he wanted to see, they wanted to see the miracles. But he was telling his disciples, one that you remember in another part, I think it's John and a couple of maybe of the other Gospels, when he pointed 70 more that went out and went, healed and cast out demons and did a whole lot of things. And when they came back, they came back rejoicing, wouldn't you? Amen. You're seeing people healed, and you're seeing people saved, and things are changing in people's lives as a result of the ministry that God has given to us, and we all have a ministry. Amen. And they came back rejoicing, and they were rejoicing. They said, "Well, Lord, even the demons are fleeing from us in your name," and they were rejoicing over that. And he said to them, "Don't rejoice over that. That's not as important as that is. That's not where your mind thoughts should be centered, and you shouldn't be focusing on just the gifts and the ministry that God has given you. Rejoice that your names are written down in the book." Amen. Amen. Rejoice that your names are written down in the book. A lot of times we don't see miracles. Amen. A lot of times we don't see a lot of things. We don't see any multitudes. We don't see any a lot of healings. We don't see a lot of answered prayers. Sometimes if you're like me and the enemy's taking us through a process and sometimes we're worried and are trying to be, the enemy's trying to worry us about circumstances and situations, and we've been praying and there's been no answers, and you know what I'm talking about, everyday life, this circumstances and situations that come into our lives. And we're wondering, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Because the enemy, by those circumstances and by those thoughts that are coming in our mind, is trying to worry us and frustrate us. And we're fighting a good fight of faith. And that battle, as we said last Sunday, is in our minds and as the Word of God says. And it is a battle. It is a faith. I mean, it is a battle of our faith. And if we cast away our faith, if we lose our faith in whatever we believe in God's for, then we can't, whatever we do and whatever we receive comes by faith, directly by faith. In other words, I don't care what the circumstances look like. All I care about is that God said he would take care of this. And I don't know how long it's going to take him to take care of us. I don't know how long I'm going to have to go through this situation, but I do know this. He said he's going to take care of it, and I believe him, and he's going to take care of it. Amen? I want to share just a story here because I want you, and the reason I'm sharing this story is a couple of things because it'll illustrate what we're talking about here. And because I want you to pray. Our son, Lewis Jr., and his wife, she came up with cancer about a couple of months ago. And it was one of the worst kinds of cancer I guess you could have. And they did MRIs and x-rays, and she had to go through a very difficult time, a painful time, going through some of the chemo treatments. She went through, I think, 6 or 7 of those. And it was just about every week she had to go somewhere, and they had to just do a lot of different things. And it's a very painful thing. And they were at my home, and when they first found this out, and they announced that she had cancer. And I just told her, I said, and her name's Pam, I said, "Pam, you're going to live through this. And I wasn't just saying this because I was saying this because the Lord wanted me to say this. Amen. But she had to accept this by faith. She didn't know. I just told her, I feel like the Lord told you, you got a long life. You're going to live probably into your 80s if Jesus didn't come. So you don't worry about this. We're just going to trust God. Well, after the second time of chemotherapy, she came into the doctor. They came into the doctor's office for the third test, and the doctor said, "I want to show you something." And he brought in some. I'm going to call them, for lack of a better term, some X-rays. And on the X-ray was on the first X-ray he showed him was this X-ray was spots all over where the cancer was. The second X-ray that he showed her, they looked at it and there was no spots anywhere. It was already gone. and that just really, because she was fighting a battle, and even though everything was clear, she said, "I'm going to go ahead and go through the rest of the test." So she went ahead and went through the rest of them. But still, at the end, there was no more cancer. The cancer was gone. Amen. And she was coming. She came on home. And 6 weeks later, whatever, she had to go back for an exam just to make sure that it was still gone, no more cancer there. Well, she went to it. Had a test run, looked at the X-ray, and there was two spots had come back. And now, once God healed you, and then you're confessing to everybody that you're healed, and then the enemy comes back and tries to put it on you again, that's a double whammy. And so she was really, really upset about it, and you can understand why. Anyway, some of the things that happened, it's a long story I can't go into, but some things that happened when they went back to the doctor's office, there was about three things that happened. One of the doctors that she wanted to see and talk to wasn't there. He'd already gone for the day, and she really wanted to talk to him. And her doctor said, "Well, wait a minute. I hear a voice outside my door," and he went and opened the door, and there was the doctor. He was there, and he come in and said, "I'm a Christian. I believe God heals people," and he sat down in front of her, took her by the hand, and prayed with her, and prayed for her, amen, and said, "I just trust God that that God can do anything." She said, "Well, I want to have another scan because I believe I'm healed," and then something else happened, and there was about three things literally that happened that day, and just in about a couple few hours time, that showed her, hey, God's hearing you, he knows where you are, and he's taking care of you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And he'll do that for any of us, but continue to pray, because she's had the last and boy her spirits were lifted, and thank God, and she's back where she's supposed to be and fighting a good fight of faith. And I want you all to lift her before your throne of grace. Lift them. Anyway, well, I think they'll get the results this coming Wednesday. And she's praying that, and we're praying that there'll be no spots there, that it'll be gone, that she won't have to go through chemotherapy. One of the things that happened was that when she came back to the doctor's office, one of the most difficult and painful treatments for cancer, our doctor said, "We want you to go through that particular one because it's one of the ones that is the most effective." So when she came back, they said, "Well, you're not eligible for that. You can't get that one." So that was one of the answers to prayer, because she didn't really want to have to go through that. But I'm telling you that we don't rejoice because of the signs, but we do rejoice. We do rejoice. We rejoice when God says, "You're healed," and we receive that in our spirits. Or when God says, whatever it is, whatever that we have that the enemy that is bothering us in our life, even if he comes back and tries to put it on us again, And the enemy doesn't just run off sometime the first time and doesn't come back. As most of all of us know, sometimes he'll go away and he's defeated and we're rejoicing and praising the Lord, but then sometimes he comes back and he tries to come back with the same thing. And that's when it hits us, because that's sometimes when our faith is really being tried. Peter says, the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. Amen? So, our faith is tried, and but we're not just looking for signs, but I just want to know, whatever you go through, and that brings us to the next thing. Verse 2 says, a great multitude followed him. I just want to say, we're not following a religion. We're not following a doctrine. We're not following a group. We're only following one person, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care. Now, God does want us to be in subject to one another and listen to one another, because we're all Christians and we're supposed to help one another, encourage one another, and we're supposed to follow one another's examples as long as there are the examples of Christ. Amen? We're not supposed to follow their examples if they're not an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he would do, what he would say. If it's what he would do and what he would say, well, then by all means, let's comfort one another, strengthen one another, encourage one another, and amen. But our whole deal is that we follow Jesus. We follow the Lord. And we need to follow him, and that means we need to understand, hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And a voice of a stranger they will not hear. Amen? Yeah. And so we just need to follow the Lord. That's who we need to follow. And it doesn't make any difference if sometimes everybody falls off beside the trail or gets distracted or whatever. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? That's who I am looking to. That's who I'm depending on. I'm not depending on the circumstances in my life. I'm not depending on what I think he's going to do or he has done and all of that kind of stuff. I am just depending. I'm looking to him, because circumstances and situations and things in our lives are like the waves of the sea. They change. They come and they go. Sometimes it's like a storm, and sometimes it's as calm as glass. But we're not to consider the circumstances. In every situation in our lives, we're looking to Jesus Christ, and we're depending on him. Amen? And he's the one that gives us our confidence. He's the one that we can depend upon. He is like his Father God. I am the Lord, the God, and I change not. He doesn't change. He gives us his word, and it's something we can get a grip on. We can hold on to. He does not change. I am so glad that he's faithful. I mean, I may not be faithful, but he's faithful. I can hold on to him. I can follow him, and I am strengthened and encouraged by him. And I may see signs which he's performed on the diseased. I may see signs where he's provided in wonderful ways. I could spend a lot of time talking about that. I mean, it's amazing sometimes what God does in helping me take care of our finances or helping me do whatever it is that needs to be done. I'm telling you, I have seen miracles, just absolutely total miracles. And I thank him for those, and I rejoice in those. But if I never saw another miracle, or if he ever never gave anything to me ever again, I'm still going to follow him and trust him. Amen? That's how miracles come. We walk by faith. We understand by faith. We see by faith. We receive by faith. We fight the battle of faith. Amen? Let faith have its perfect work. And that's the next thing that I want to go into in verse 3. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. I want you to know because of life and the circumstances and situations that we get in. Now look up here at me. I'm sitting. Amen? That means I'm not carrying my own weight. I'm sitting. There are some times because religion would have us so busy. And even religious thoughts flooding our minds will keep us on spiritual warfare. And what do you want me to do here, Lord? And what do you want me to do there? And it's just like there's all kinds of distractions and spiritual warfare that's going on. And the Bible, and I think it's Isaiah 46:10 or Psalms 46:10. I think it's Psalms 46:10. It says, "Be still. Be still and know that I'm God." Amen? Be still and know that I'm God. He sat down with his disciples. He was always saying, or a lot of times he was saying to his disciples, come apart and rest a little while. And I want to tell you that there's nothing wrong in this world for us coming somewhere and just sitting down. Amen? And doing nothing. Just don't do anything. Just, Lord, I think you want me to rest, and I'm just going to sit down here, and bless God, I'm going to get my mind off of everything. I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm not going to pray about anything. I'm not going to try to do some religious works. I am just going to sit down here before your throne of grace. Can somebody say amen? That's where we hear from the Lord. That's where we hear from the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Some of the greatest times that I've ever had in my life, and I've experienced a lot of great times, but some of the greatest times is just when I just stopped. I thought, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to try to fight on this. I'm tired of doing spiritual warfare. I'm tired of holding the sword and the shield. It's not that I'm going to drop them, and it's not I'm going to quit doing anything. But right now, Lord, it's time for me to be still and to know that you're God. I just want to sit down, Lord. Amen? I remember several years ago when our first church first started, and we had a number of elders here at that time. And there was six of us, I think, and we met back here in the church office, and there was some problems, some issues that we were thinking about, and then issues that needed to be answered. We needed some answers. We needed to know what to do. And so we had met back there to talk about these, and I read the five issues that we had, and I said, you know, we need to hear from God about this. I've learned a long time ago that when I have a problem, I don't go running to a lawyer or an Indian chief or a doctor or whatever. The first thing I do is run to the Lord and say, Lord, you know where I am. You love me. And you can do all things. All things are possible with you. So I need to know, how do you want me to handle this situation? What do you want me to do with this problem? And so I told these five guys, and they looked at me like I was, crazy. And they didn't really understand why I was doing it. And I was doing it for the purpose that I wanted them to be able to hear God for themselves, that they could hear from God. And so I said, I want you to take a pencil and piece of paper with you, and it's about lunchtime, and let's come back here in about an hour, go eat some lunch or whatever, but I want you to just go somewhere and get still before God. And it doesn't take very long, and I just want you to get still before the Lord, and I want you to say, question number one, Lord, we have this issue. What do you want us to do with it? Question number two, Lord, we have this problem or issue that we've got to take care of, and what do you want us to do? What is your will in this matter? And I want you to go down the list. And I want you then to listen. After you ask him, I want you to then listen and see what he tells you. And then I want you to write it down. And then I want you to come back to this office. And all six of us, or seven of us, we're going to sit here, including myself, we're going to sit here, and we're going to see what he said to each one of us. And I guarantee you, if we all heard from God, those of us that really heard from God, he's not going to tell you something different than me. We're all going to have the same answer. Amen? 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 Have you ever done this? Oh, man, you need to do this. Amen? And so I went off out to, I don't even know if I ate or what, but anyway, I ended up out at Old Ingleside on the bay, and I just parked my car up there by that little park area and sat down, and I just started thanking the Lord and praising Him. And I said, Lord, I just want to, of course, I'd been hearing and walking with the Lord ever since I was 19 years old. And so I had learned how to hear His voice. And that is a learned process. And then there's other voices that can come in there, but those voices we don't hear. We know. We recognize. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger will they not hear. Amen? They won't. So anyway, I said, question number one, he gave me the answer, and I wrote down the answer to all five of those. And when I finished the last question, this so touched me, I have never forgotten it. This is one of the experiences in my life that I've never forgotten. I've always believed, according to the Word of God and what God says over the years, through His Word, that God loved me. Amen? God loved the whole world. Amen? And I could say, you know, God loves me. I can say God loves you. Amen? Well, when I finished that last question, this is the first in my lifetime I've ever heard this. When I finished asking that last question, I had written it down. He said, I love you. And I want you to know, that so changed my life. I had never heard, in all of my times of talking to Him, I had never heard Him say in my spirit, I love you. And when I heard that, that just was I knew He loved me. I didn't need to hear that. I knew He loved me, but it was a wonderful thing. Now, there's husbands and wives relationships and parents and children's relationships when they've never heard their wife or their husband or the children never heard their mom or their dad or somebody say, one of them say, I love you. And we need to tell one another that. One of the best things that you can do, husband. One of the best things that you can do, wife. One of the best things that you can do, mom. And the best thing you can do, dad, is to just when they're least expecting it, go up to one of your loved ones, your wife or your husband, your children, your brother, your sister, or whoever it might be, try to follow the leadership of the Lord, but just go up to Him and say, I love you. I appreciate you. Amen? Amen? We all need to hear that. We need to hear that. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's something that we need to do. And sometimes He may be saying, I love you. Or He may be saying, I want you to do this. But if we're not still, if we haven't sat down with Him, and perhaps even with others. I've seen some meetings. One time I went to a meeting down in an old farm. I don't even know where it was, some ranch way down in the valley somewhere, and there was probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 preachers. And we all just got in this old farmhouse. There wasn't any furniture, wasn't nothing in it. We all laid around on the floor, opened up our Bibles, and started praying one after another. And we started reading one after another in the Scriptures. And all of a sudden, there was a little Hispanic boy. I think he was found out later he was about 16 years old. He just stood up in the midst of everybody. And started talking about the love of God and telling us all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, the whole group because we got still. We got still. And sometimes we have to still our minds. It's not enough just to sit down and be still and turn on the TV. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I can relax and sit down. I'm careful about what I watch on that idiot box, but I do watch it from time to time. But I'm talking about getting everything out of your mind and just sit down with the Lord. He sat down with His disciples. He got still with His disciples. And there was a lot of things as you're going through life and as God's using us and we're walking with him, there's a lot of circumstances and situations that come up, and there's a lot of things that he does and things that he says. And it was always with the disciples, when they got a chance to come beside and sit with him, they would always ask him, well, what did you mean by this? What did you mean by that? What does this parable mean? What did you say? What do you mean when you told this parable? I don't understand that parable of the sower. I don't understand that parable of the prodigal son. Or I don't understand this. Or I don't understand that. We can sit down with him, and that doesn't just mean we're supposed to ask him a bunch of questions, because we can ask him a thousand and one things. He knows way beyond anything that we could ever know. But we need to ask him things not just so we can have some information, but we need to ask him things so that we can be able to share some of those things with others. We need to ask him those things so we can give him thanks because of what he's doing in our lives. We need to understand how he takes care of things because of some of the parables and because of the things that he says in his word. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Even if you get into the word, if you don't get still before God, he's not going to be able to explain and help you to understand a lot of things. Now, I'm not bragging on myself, but as a pastor and a minister, that one of the things that we have to do if we're going to minister, and I've already forgot about where I'm supposed to be over there, but I'm over here, so I and I'm sitting down. there's a lot of things that we're supposed to do, and we can get excited about a lot of things. I forgot what I was going to say right there, but God, we see these things going on. The point is. And we need to ask him about things that are important to us. Lord, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? What do you want me to do? I could tell a lot of different stories. I'm going to tell you one story. Our youngest daughter, Leslie, graduated from high school, and I've always worked in pastor churches, and I had some good jobs. I worked for construction companies and engineering companies. I was superintendents and project managers on jobs and in refineries, and I got paid really well. I didn't need a church, and that was one of my deals that I studied a lot on my job and when I got a few minutes, and you always have to study and get still before you know what to share with people. Amen? If you don't do that, then you can share just about anything you want to. I've got hundreds and hundreds of messages that I preached over I don't know how many years, and I can always go back and pick up an outline and get up here and teach. I don't want to do that. I want it to be live. I want it to be real. I want it to be what God says. Amen. Because it's always a timely thing, and that's the time that we're here. Amen. That's the time right now. We need to hear. Somebody needs to hear all this, I guess. But anyway, so... Leslie, when she graduated, the reason I said that is because I wanted y'all to know I didn't use the church's money. And I think the church was paying me $30 or $40 a week or $20, and I just took that because I wasn't concerned, because I was making over $100,000 a year, and the car was furnished, and they were paying me $438 or $435 a month or $450, whatever it was, for my car and my car expenses. And I bought a car every year. I bought my wife a new car every year, and I bought a truck every year. So every year I was either buying a car or a truck. And I found out doing that, it didn't cost me near as much because it was paid for. And when I traded it in, I could go drive a brand new one a year later, or 2 years later, I could go buy a brand new one for probably $5,000 difference. Are you talking? Are you hearing me? Well, anyway, that's another thing, the way God works. Not with cars, but I'm just using that as an example. Anyway, so I had bought her a brand new Plymouth Saparo. And I said, I'm going to buy it, but I'm not going to make the payments on it, because we were strapped at that time. We just bought a new home. I had some credit cards and we owed for, and I had some other things that we owed for, and we had a lot, you know, bills that were having to be paid and so on. And I told her, I said, I'll buy you the car. This is the deal. I'll get you the car, but you're going to have a job, and you're going to have to pay to make the car payments on it. But I'll pay it. I'm enough on it and get it so your payments will be very low. You won't be strapped. So now here she has, so 7 or 8 months later, she comes and says, Dad, of course she got married. He already has a car. Dad, I want you to have this car. Would you please take this car back? That means take the car back. I make the payments. All right. So I had already a lot of payments. And I didn't need another. I didn't need a car payment. So I was struggling with making those car payments. And I was upset because I had to do it. But I love my daughter. I didn't tell her I was upset. I just I was just taking care of it. But all of this comes to this. I was working as for the OICC, Officer in Charge of Construction, at the Naval Air Station in Corpus Christi. I was their chief mechanical inspector. I inspected all of their mechanical all over Naval Air Station, SeaCAD and everywhere. I was over all of that. And so I'm telling you that because of the way this happened. So I had left one day. I'd had one of my church members that was in jail. Or one of the family members, I had a family in our church that had somebody in jail, New Aces County Jail. And so I asked my boss, I said, can I leave? I left, and he said, okay. So I left the Naval Air Station. I was going down to New Aces County Jail to see this person. And on the way down there, I was talking to the Lord like I always do. Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? How do you want me to minister to him? What do I need to say? How can I help? How can I do whatever? And it was like Jesus just come and sit down in the front seat with me, passenger side. And I was just driving along talking to him. He was right there. Amen. And so when I got through talking, and he told me some things, here's what I'm thinking. Now that he's right here and I've got him in a good mood. Not that he's ever in a bad mood. But now, I didn't mean good mood like he was in a bad mood, but I mean, now that I've got his attention would have been a better thing to say. I said, I'm going to ask him about this car. I've been trying to get rid of this car. I'd put paper signs in the papers and newspapers, put around all over the bulletin board at the Naval Station, car for sale. I'm just giving it away, actually. So anyway, so I said, wow. Now that he's right here, he's in a good mood, and I'm going to ask him about this car. He knew exactly what I was doing. He knew exactly what I was doing because I said, now, Lord, about this car. And he started laughing. That's the first time I've ever known Jesus to laugh. He started laughing. And he looked at me, and he said, it will be sold by 10 o'clock tomorrow, and he was gone. That was his parting words. 10 o'clock the next day at the Naval Air Station, that car sold at 10 o'clock. I looked at my watch. When the guy come by the OICC office and said, and I carried the title with me, he said, I want to buy that, and I was driving the car. He said, I want to buy that car. And he had the money, and I signed the title. That car sold at 10 o'clock the next morning. Now, I'm telling you this. Now, listen. It's not because I'm a minister or that I'm somebody special. If you're a child of God, then I want you to know you're somebody special. You are somebody special. That means God loves you, and you have His special attention. If you'll just be still and draw near, the Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Just get still. Get whatever it is that's bothering you, and it's been a long time, maybe some kind of a whatever. What was it? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Amen. And three times he asked the Lord, the Lord said, no, it's going to stay there. I'm using that thorn. Amen? But he could have removed it. Amen? But if, you know, this scripture has always come to my mind because there's a lot of times we get so busy, and I'm going to shut up after this. There's a lot of times we get so busy in life and going through so many things, we forget to ask God. We just forget to ask Him. We just forget to ask. And it doesn't take any special time. We don't have to go off and fast for 10 days or a week or whatever, unless the Lord tells us to. But, you know, He's right there. He's our Heavenly Father. He knows what we even think. Like my son said yesterday when I was talking to him, he said, well, he knows the number of the hairs on our head, doesn't he, Dad? And I said, yes, he does. He said, well, mine are getting fewer. I said, but there are some growing, right? I said, mine are too. But he knows, he doesn't know the numbers of hair on your head. Listen to me, so y'all will understand. And I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. He doesn't know the numbers on your number of hair on our head because he knows how to count. He's just saying that because he wants you to know, I know all about you. I care for you. I care for you. I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. And the problem with us as Christians, we try to put God in our little religious, church, denominational, religious life, and we forget that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We forget that He's the dearest and best friend, and not only that, the most powerful friend, a friend that can do everything. But let's just go beyond that. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. Are you listening to me? And He said, if you being evil know how to good give gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to His children? Amen? Let's talk to Him. Let's ask Him. If you're having a problem, say, Lord, why am I having this problem? What? I've learned to say, Lord, I have this problem, and I know that You're here with me, and You know that I'm having this problem. And I know that I wouldn't be having this problem unless there wasn't some reason, because it had to come through You before it could get to me. Are you listening to me? And I say, okay, Lord, so I understand all this. So now, just what is it You're trying to get me to see with this problem? What are You trying to tell me through this problem, Lord? I want to see. I want to understand. Because I want to know what it is. I want to get rid of this problem as soon as I can. What are you listening to me? Excuse me. God is. Oh my goodness. God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He's here for you. And it's not just He's here for you to deal with Him. Get Him out of your little religious box and get Him into your life. Let Him take care of your job. Let Him take care of your business. Let Him take care of your family. Let Him take care of your children. Whatever it is. Talk to Him about everything. He can do. He's concerned about that refrigerator that doesn't work. Amen? And that you don't have the money to pay for it. He'll have someone give you one. Are you listening to me? Or He'll give you the money. You know, what is it that's bothering you? This is the best way in the world to have and create and to develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. That's what this is all about. Amen? That's what God wants to do for you. And we've missed out already on a lot of things. So let's start walking with Him. And let's start talking with Him. And then when you are ready and you decide that I'm tired, I'm weary, or whatever, I'm just going to sit down here and get still. And I'm going to ask the Lord, what in the world is going on in my life? And what do You want me to do? And will You please take care of me and take care of this situation? Amen? And then look up and praise Him and thank Him. And then expect an answer, because it's not going to be very long before you'll find the answer. Because He wants you. He wants us to know the answer. And if you don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord, you need to get it developed, because that's the best way in the world you can have the assurance of your salvation, know that God loves you, and enjoy fellowship with Him. And it's not religion, it's a relationship. Amen? Oh my goodness. Oh God, help us. Amen? Let's stand. I'm going to shut up. We're going to get back in John chapter 6 next Sunday, I guess, unless the Lord changes my mind. He's subject to do that. Amen? Because after all, it's His business, not mine. Anybody want to come to the altar for prayer or anointing or whatever, just join together with us, or just come and say, Lord, or repent, or just get before the Lord. And as we're in His presence right now, and this is a special time, so if you want to take this special moment just to come and get before Him, just come on. You might just say, Lord, I just come to You here. Help me. I need Your help. I want You to take charge and control of my life. Amen. Anyone else? Brother Tony, you dismiss us, please, sir.